Today's Shir is Masechta Kedushin Daf Chaf Dalad. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch on Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis at the bottom line. V'rami d'Rameya d'Rameya, v'rami d'Rabbanan d'Rabbanan. We've been learning the opinions of Ramey and Rabbanan, how an Eved Knani can be freed when he uses his, can he use his own money, only other people's money, and that's by Kesem, by Shtar. And the Gemara introduces a question. The Tanya says, the Gemara, we learned in the Braisa, Ein Isha Poyda Maisa Sheni. We know that in the first and the second, and the fourth and the fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, besides that everybody has to give Truma from the produce, and everybody has to give Maisa Rishon from the produce, they also have to give Maisa Sheni. And the law is that the Maisa Sheni produce is supposed to be taken up to Yerushalayim and consumed in Yerushalayim. But if somebody has, Baruch Hashem, a lot of Ma'is Sheni produce, because he has a lot of Ma'is Sheni produce, it's difficult for him to transport that all to Yerushalayim, particularly in the world that they lived in, where there were no trucks and cars, so it becomes difficult to transport things to Yerushalayim. The halacha is that it could be redeemed for the value. But there's a halacha that there's a difference if the person who's giving the Ma'is Sheni redeems this produce or somebody else redeems the produce. If the person himself redeems the produce, then the owner, he has to add a fifth. If somebody else is redeeming the produce, that extra fifth need not be added. And the Braisa we're about to learn discusses how does the halacha look at the situation when a wife is redeeming her husband's Ma'is Sheni. The halacha is, Ein Isha Poyda the Ma'is Sheni, a wife cannot redeem the Ma'is Sheni of her husband, B'loi Chaymish, without adding a Chaymish. Shimon Ben Elazar, Oymim Shem Rameya, Isha Poyda the Ma'is Sheni, a wife can redeem the Ma'is Sheni of her husband, B'loi Chaymish, without adding the fifth. So the Gemara analyzes, Hei Chidami, exactly what is the situation we're referring to? Ilem bezuzi debal, if we're saying that the wife is using the husband's money, a maisa debal, on the maisa of the husband. So then, clearly, shluchusa debal kovda, she's acting as a shlich of her husband. And if she's acting as a shlich of her husband, since this is the produce that's owned by her husband, if her husband would have to add a chaymish, she should have to add the chaymish. Ela bezuzi debal, we're speaking about her money or Maisa the day. But ask the Gemara, Ish Amrachmana, the Torah, when it speaks about Pinyan Maisa Sheni, says, Yigal Ish Mimasarai, that the husband has to add a fifth, V'loi Isha, the wife is who this produce is not hers, is not, since she's not the owner of this produce, there's no requirement for add a chaymish. Elaf, what must be the case? Somebody gave money to the wife, Vamala, and said to her as he gave her the money, this money should be used to redeem the Maisa. And the Machloikis of the Tanakama's Rameya is this Tanai going to be an effective Tanai? And here we see that Rameya's opinion is that you can make such a condition. Bivcha Shemanala. And this is just the opposite of what we learned in our previous year. That we learned that according to Rameya, such a stipulation is not valid. If somebody gave an Eved money on the condition that the owner shouldn't have any rights to it, Rameya said it's not a good Tanai. And Rabbanan held it is a good Tanai. Says the Gemara Amar Abaye, because of this question, Epoch, we have to reverse the opinion in this Braisa. And the Tanakam is going to be the one to say that such a stipulation is valid. And Rameya is going to be the one to say that such a stipulation is not valid. Rava says, Lo'ilam lo'y tepach. There's no reason to reverse the situation. For Hocha, the case over here that we're speaking about, B'maisa da osman bay nosha askinan. We're speaking about Maiser, that the wife inherited from her father. That means the wife's father died without any sons. that the halacha is that if a man dies without any sons, his daughter is his yairish. And his daughter here, this woman, this wife that we're speaking about, took ownership of these payers. Ramei le tamei. Ramei's opinion is that Maiser Sheni, he holds, is Mais in Mamon Hegdishu. It's not considered your own private money. For example, we're going to learn later in our Masechta, according to Ramei, one cannot use Maiser Sheni produce to be Mekadosh Anisha, to marry a woman. Because as we keep on learning, when we do Kedusha Kesef, the Kedusha Kesef that we do can only be done with money that's owned by the husband. So if a husband, for example, has Maiser Sheni produce and he wants to use that to be Mekadosh a wife, it wouldn't be effective because it's not his money. Yes, of course, the Torah gave him the right, I would use a stronger word, not just the right, the obligation to eat that Maiser Sheni produce, but not to the degree that he should become the owner of that Maiser Sheni money. And therefore, when is the halacha of Kama Shekana Isha Kana Bala? That's only by money that truly becomes hers. But this is not money that truly becomes hers. Since this is not money that truly becomes hers, the halacha is that Loikana Labal. It doesn't become the Baal's money. And therefore, if in such a case that the Monman is considered Monman Hegdish, and she therefore, if she uses her husband's money to redeem the Maiser Sheni, it's not his fruit. And since it's not his Maiser Sheni, so he doesn't have to add a fifth. Rabbanon Tamayu, but the Rabbanon are actually following their opinion that they hold Momen Hedjithu. The Maiser Sheni is considered Momen Hedjit. And therefore, anything that she takes ownership of, we apply the concept of Kamash Kana Isha Kana Bala. And therefore, the Kana Le Bal, it becomes the property of the owner. Since it becomes the property of the owner, if we're going to be paida it, we're going to redeem it with the owner's money, a shchaimish would have to be added because shlichus of the baal kavda, she's really acting as a shlich of the husband. We learned in the Mishnah that Eva Kanani goes out b'kesef b'shtar, and the Braisa teaches us, as we've mentioned in our shurim, there's another way, and that is, and of course, Rabbi Chanan makes a point that even Rameyu holds that Maiser Sheni is mum and hegdish, that doesn't mean that there can't be ownership of it. Rabbi Chanan points out that just like we said, the Ramei of course doesn't disagree that there's a heter achila, that the owner of the Maiser Sheni gets to eat the Maiser Sheni, says Rabbi Chanan Zatzal, that included in that heter achila is a halacha of Yerusha on Maiser Sheni. So says the Gemara Tana, Yotze B'Shem V'Ayin, the Eved Kanani goes out if the owner caused that his tooth and eye should be removed, or any of the limbs that don't grow back. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Hashem V'ayin, that the Eved Kanani goes out with Shem V'ayin, Ksivi, it's explicit in the Torah. But ask the Gemara, Ela Rosh Evarim and Alon, where do we know that he also goes out with the Rosh Evarim? And says the Gemara, Dum Yud Hashem V'ayin. We compare the Rosh Yavarim to the Shem V'ayin. Ma Shem V'ayin, a mumin shebegoli, everybody could see that wound. And they're a type of wound that ain't a chazrim, that don't grow back. Af kol mumin shebegoli, whatever, there's such a type of a wound, that it's a wound that's obvious. V'ain a chazrim, it's not grow back, he goes out. But ask the Gemara, why are we learning that way? V'ayman avishem v'ayin,
there's
a rule throughout Shas, when the Torah says the same halacha twice, it means that only in those cases does the halacha apply that way, and not in any other situation. Which means as follows. We know that one of the most fundamental principles of understanding, learning from the Torah, is that the Torah usually says something once, and once the Torah says it once, it becomes a model for the rest of the Torah that that's what the halacha is. So here, the halacha is that since the Torah said the halacha of shame, the halacha is, it would, if the Torah only said the halacha of shame, but the Torah only said the halacha of ayin, we would say that this could serve as a model for kol ha-Torah kula. But if the Torah said it both by Shein and Ayin, what that means to say is that only here where the Torah said it does this halacha apply. Anywhere else where the Torah didn't say it, the halacha doesn't apply. So ask the Gemara, the fact that the Torah went out of its way to say this halacha both by Shein and Ayin, isn't that clearly an indication that it only applies by Shein and Ayin, nowhere else? So how are we saying that it applies to all other Reish Avarim that ain't Chayzrim? Answer the Gemara Tzricha. We could not have learned from Shein V'ayin itself. Dikas Rachmona Shen, if the Torah would have only written Shen, Hav Amina, we would think, Afil Shein D'Cholov, even a baby tooth, Kas Rachmona Ayin, that eye, a baby tooth will grow a new tooth. And it has to be similar to an eye, just like an eye won't come back. So too, only a tooth that won't come back is considered a shen. Vikas rechmana ayin havamina my ayin shenivir imay. Only something that was born with the person himself. Av kol shenivir imay. Av a shen that wasn't born together with the person doesn't apply. That's why tzricha. And that's why the Torah had to point out both shen and ayin. And that's why it's not considered shnei ksuvim Haboim Kechot. Veima, but ask the Gemara, why don't we learn the Pasuk this way? Kiyaka, the Torah says that if the owner hits his Eved, is a klal. And when we say a klal, it includes everything. Then v'shem v'ayim prat are details. And we have a locha, aim b'klal el mashab prat. That when we have a klal or prat, then the prat defines the klal, and it limits the klal to what is said and nothing else. And we would say only shein v'ayin midachrin aloy. So how are we including everything else? Answers the Gemara, because then the Torah says l'chashi yishalchena, and we learned chaz v'klal. The rule by klal uprat uklal, unlike the rule by klal uprat, is i'atadon el ka'en uprat. It has to be similar to the prat. Ma prat beforish. It's something that's visible and doesn't come back. So we learn it with a klal or prat. And that's why it's considered, that's why we can learn all these other types of limud. The Atzmas Yosef asks a question. We've many times in our shurim said that there are two different ways of learning. There's a klal or prat, a klal, and there's a ribui miyut ribui. Why are we choosing to learn it with a klal prat to klal, which is a much more limited way of learning, and not learn it with a ribui miyut ribui? Says the Gemara, since the pasuk uses the answer to that's Mas Yosef, since the Torah uses the words l'chafshi yishalchena, so the word l'chafshi yishalchena, he says, is doesn't lend itself to be a ribui, it lends itself more to be a klal or prat or klal. Says the Gemara, ear prat mefurish, but we speak about the frat, and we're saying that it has to be similar to the prat. Says the Gemara, we shall learn, mumen shebegoli, shem v'ayin is obvious, bottom melachtoi. If he loses his eye, he can't see and can't work. If he loses his tooth, he can't eat and can't have the strength and ability to work. And a chayzer, and they're also not going to go back. So the halacha should be, af kol mumin shebegoli ve'en a chayzer, ubatim melachtoi. Those should be the qualities that are required, that if that type of aver is removed, the aver goes free. Alam matanya, why do we actually learn a braisa? If tolish bezuknoi, if the owner pulled the beard of the Eved, and because of that dilda by etzem, he displaced the jaw, Eved yotze be'elecheres. But that doesn't in any way change his ability to work. Answers the Gemara, l'chafshi yishalchena ribuyu. So not a Gemara, the way many Rishonim explained, say yes, Don't learn it a klal prat a klal. Learn it as a ribi meet ribui. And if you're going to learn it as a ribi meet ribui, it's much broader. Vi ribi who, so says the Gemara, if that's the case, the halacha ought to be, he ko al yodai, if he hit his hand, v'tzamsa, and the hand lost the ability to work, v'saifalach sanami, then the halacha should be that the eved should go out free, because we're being broader in our application. And yet we learned, Alam Tanya, he called Yodai, that if the owner hit him on his hand with Samsai, and right now it's not usable, but ultimately with Seifel Achser, in Mitzvah Shem, he will be able to use it, and Eved Yotze Ben Cheres, he wouldn't go out free. So we see that we don't take that broad application. Says the Gemara, on the other hand, Im Kain, if we're going to say that, Shem V'ayin Mahanale. Shem V'ayin does represent some sort of limitation. And therefore, we learn from Shem V'ayin, just like Shem V'ayin is something that's going to come, that's not, if they're removed, they don't come back. Here too, only if the hand were removed to the degree that it won't come back, that's when the Eved doesn't go out. Another situation, the Eved would go out. There's an interesting question that the Poskim discuss. We know that tefillin are put on the weaker hand. And what would happen if somebody, Rachman Tzlan, he's been putting tefillin on his left hand, and his left hand has become non-usable. It's there, but it's not usable. The halacha is, if the left hand was entirely removed, there's a big question if such an individual could put on tefillin, because he only has one hand, and that's obviously the strong hand, and tefillin is not put on the strong hand. So what will be the halacha if somebody has, Baruch Hashem, still his left hand, but it's not usable? Is it compared to the left hand that is missing or not? So the Avni Nezer discusses this shayla in his first tshuva. Shayla's tshuva is Avni Nezer, Chelik Aleph, Simon Aleph. He says that when a hand is not usable, we have to examine what does that mean. The way he suggests that we do such an examination is by putting a needle into the hand. If blood will come out, then the halacha is that that hand is still considered somewhat there and somewhat usable, and therefore the halacha will be that you could put tefillin still on that hand. If no blood can come out, the halacha is that the hand is not usable. Rav Moshe discusses this shaila as well. He says that there's a difference where this is Digrus Moshe Or Chaim Chelik Aleph Simen Ches. And Rav Moshe draws a distinction between a hand that is diseased because of the hand, or the hand is paralyzed, Rachmana Litzlan, because of a stroke. He explains as follows, that if a hand is not usable because there's a disease in the hand, so as we're learning, given that it's really not usable, the hand is considered, unfortunately, not there. It's considered the equivalent of the hand that was removed. But says Rav Moshe, when a hand is not be able to use because it's paralyzed, because of a stroke, there's nothing wrong with the hand, says Rav Moshe. What the issue here is that it's a hand that the nervous system, the communication from the brain to the hand has been affected, and therefore the hand can't work. But the hand itself is a good hand. And therefore, says Rav Moshe, the way to make the determination if somebody has a left hand that is not usable is to determine, is it a disease in the hand? And then maybe it's going to be considered halachically equivalent to a hand that was removed? Or is it considered if it was because of a paralysis, because of something like a stroke in the nervous system, it will not be considered that the hand is missing, and therefore such a hand you do put tefillin on. Tan Rabbanan, says the Gemara, we speak about the various Rashi Avarim that we've been speaking in our shir, that if they're removed, the Eved goes free. It says the Marba Kulon, Eved Yotze Ben Lecheres, V'tzarech Get Shechur. But the halacha will still require that you need to give a Get Shechur. Divrei Rav Shimon. The owner has to give her Divrei Shifcha. Remeya Oimer Ein Tzarach. Says the Gemara, Didis Machloikis was continued over the generations. Rav Elazar Oimer Tzarach. Rav Elazar says a Get Shifcha should be written. Rav Tarfon Oimer Ein Tzarach. Rav Kiva Oimer Tzarach. Rav Kiva says a Get Shifcha has to be written. Hamachrim Lefnei Chachamim. The people sat in the front of the Chachamim and would decide the machloikas that they used to have. I am near and divrei Tarf b'shem v'ayin. That b'shem v'ayin, we don't have to write a shtar shikra. Because the Torah is achsula. The Torah writes explicitly that the evit goes out b'shem v'ayin. It's only midrabanan. Ask the Gemara, knas chachamim? You're calling this a rabbinical fine? Krokodashinen. As we just finished learning the Gemara, these halachas are based on psukim. Elaharlo medrash chachamahu. Since it's only learned by medrash chachamim, it's not something that's explicit in the Torah. So of course, all the Rishonim asked the question. All of Shas is replete of situation of medrash chachamim, of halachas that we learn that chachamim darsh and psukim. And we never chas v'shalom say, well, it doesn't have the category, it doesn't have the significance of a deraisa because it was only learnt by a drosha. Why over here do we say so? So the Meiri says, since that the Meiri takes an approach that something that's learnt by klalu prat is not considered a deraisa, it's only considered a rabbanon, a very bechidish. Rabbeinu Tam says that of course it has the category of a deraisa. But says Rabbeinu Tam, since people are not familiar, because the Torah only says it by Shem V'ayin, people are not going to know that this is really a deraisa. And when they're going to see that whatever goes out free, people are going to, whatever goes out free with this way, people are going to say, what's going on here? And people are going to suggest that you're not really free. And why are you acting as if you are free? In order to make sure that everybody has no question that this eved should be free, that's why the halacha is in such cases he should get a shtar shechra. Says the Gemara, my time Rav Shimon, what is the reason that Rav Shimon holds that eved with shem v'ayin needs a shtar shechra? Says yalav shiluach shiluach mi'ishi. He learns the following gzeir shava. The pasuk says by eved ivri with shem kanani with shem v'ayin l'chavshi shalchana, and the Torah says by a wife who's being divorced, the Torah says, "V'shilcha mibeisa." My isha, just like a woman, is only divorced with a get shich, with a shtar, with a get. Af eved nami has to have a shtar. Rameyer, who holds that you don't need to have a shtar shichur, says, "Iksev chashi lebesayif." If the Torah would have written the word chavshi, the Torah would have said, "Yishalchena lechavshi to the kamrit." So then we will learn the Gzeir Shav, Yisholchenu, how do you send them L'chavshi with a Shtar Shechur? Hashta the Ksiv, but the Torah uses the words L'chavshi Yisholchenu. So he says the word Chavshi Mikara, but the Torah means to say, Chavshi means as soon as this happens, the Everett is freed and there's no need for anything more. Tan Rabbanan, Heku Al Eino. If the owner hit on his eye, the sima, and it caused him to become blind. Al oznoi, by his ear, v'chirshin, it caused him to become deaf. Eved yotze be'el chayris, that's the case, where the eved goes out free. So Tosfos asks, why, if somebody, Rachman Slan, if an owner makes his eved kanani deaf, would the eved go free? We've been learning that eved only goes free by mum shebegoli, by it's visible. Being deaf is not something that's visible. Says Tosfos that since a person who Rachmana Litzlan is deaf certainly doesn't participate and doesn't live with everybody else like a regular human being, that's why it's considered a mum shebegali. However, if he hit him keneged einai, and ever was sitting somewhere and the owner banged something to such next to his eye to such a degree that in a roya, that the eved cannot see. Or, keneged oznoi, he was sitting somewhere and the owner banged something to the degree that he can't hear. Those are cases in eved yotze ben l'chayrus. Ask the Gemara, Amr Rav Shemel Rav Ashi, lememr the kol alav klumu, does that mean that since it wasn't a direct hit, It was only indirect. It doesn't make a difference. Ask the Gemara, but we learned not like that. V'tani Rabbi Baicheskel, Tana Gol Shoshid Rosh Shalo Avi Kliz Chuskus. If a chicken stuck his head into a glass jar, V'takaba, and he made noise, and because of the noise that he made, V'shavroi, he caused that jar should break. Mishal Nezek Shalim. He has to pay Nezek Shalim because it's considered as his animal directly damaged it. Furthermore, v'amar Rav Yosef Amar Bei Rav, Sushet Sonof, v'chanar Shanar, if a horse or donkey make noise, and because of that, v'shavru Kelim B'tach HaBayis, Mishal Mechatzin Nezek. Since they didn't directly break it, and it came indirectly, so it came indirectly, you pay Chatzin Nezek. So we see, but whatever we're going to learn, whether you pay Nezek Sholem, or you pay Chatzin Nezek, the halacha is that it's considered as if you did direct damage, not indirect damage. Says the Gemara, by an animal or by a keli, if it was damaged in this fashion, it's considered damage. But when a person was damaged that way, it's not considered direct damage. Because Shani Adam, the Kivin the Bardasu, a person has his own independent intelligence. When he heard this noise and it had this terrible effect that it caused him to become blind, Rahman Slan, or deaf, it isn't that caused him to become deaf. Iyu Mevis Nafshi, it's the fear or the reaction which is part of the person himself. So the person did damage to himself, not something else. Kirtanya, as the Bryson teaches us, Hamavis Chaveroi, if somebody frightens somebody else, and by frightening that other person, the person gets hurt. The halach is, the person who did this is part of Medinei Adam. He's not responsible in Bezdin, the Chai Medinei Shemaim. And the Brisa illustrates, Ketze, talk about Oznoi. If somebody blew a loud noise, and that caused that this individual, the Chorshi, should become deaf, Potter. Ochsoi, but if he grabbed the person, the talk about Oznoi, and he blew into his ear v'charshoi, he's chayiv. Because, as the Rama explains, when the person wasn't being held and the noise caused him to become deaf, he should have moved away, tilted his head. But when the person held him, he didn't have the ability to change, to move. Since he didn't have the ability to move, because the person who was blowing the noise, making the noise, was holding on to him, that's why it's considered the person that's holding on to him did direct damage. Tanabanan, he killed Einoi. If an owner hit the Evid on his eye, the Kia saw, and it caused that his eye should get weaker. Al Shinoi, or he hits him on the tooth, another done, it causes the tooth should shake. Im Yachal Ishtamishban Achshav, if they're still usable, ain't Evid Yotze Ben L'Cheres. Mimlav, but if they're no longer usable, Evid Yotze Ben L'Cheres. Says the Gemara, Tanya Idach. Says the Gemara, different Brisa. Harei Shoysa Ein Kehuya. We have an individual who has a weak eye, the Sima, and the owner caused it to become totally blind. Or he had a Shina Neduda. He had a tooth that was shaking, the Piloi, and the owner caused it to fall out. Im Yachal Ishtamish Ben Kvar, if they were usable previous to what the owner did, Evid Yotze Ben L'Cheres, then the Evid would go free. Mimlav, if not, Ein Evid Yotze Ben L'Cheres, the Evid would not be able to go free. Says the Gemara, the Brises, these two Brises are essentially teaching us the same din. So why were they both necessary? Says the Gemara, Yesh Min HaKamaisa, if we heard only the first Brisa, Mishum Di Kar Noribari, first, this Evid had perfect eyesight. The Hashta Nehara Chisha. Now he has weak eyesight. Aval Hocha, in the second Brisa, the Mikara Nami Nerek Chisha, the Evid wasn't seeing well anyway. Emeloi, so when you hit him that way, the owner really hasn't done anything of significance, and therefore the Evid should not go out. Therefore, the Brisa says that no. If it was usable and now it's non-usable, the Evid goes out. V'yashmin and ha, if we only had the second Brisa, Shum the Samuel Gamri, the owner blinded him. Aval Hossam, where he weakened his eye, the Loi Samuel Gamri, that he hasn't completely blinded him. Emeloi, that's why we need both brises. Tzricha. Tana Rabbanan, Hareisha Yerabbi Roifai. If the owner was a doctor, Vamaloi, and the Evid asked the owner, the doctor, Licholai Enai, to put medicine into his eye, Vesamai, and in doing so, he blinded him. Olachtalai Shinai, the owner is a dentist, and he asked him to give him to do a procedure, a cleaning on his tooth. And as he's doing the procedure, the hipiloi, the tooth falls out. Sichik b'adam, even though the owner had the best intention, he caused his eye or ear tooth to go out, and the eved will go free. And the Chazanish says that even though we have a rule b'kol ha'tayra kula oynus rachmana patrei, this, says the Chazanish, is not considered an oynus. Shimon Gamaliel Omer the shichasa, that the only time the owner is held responsible is achi iskaven l'shachasa, when he had direct intention to do damage. He was not, of course, intending to do any direct damage. And therefore, since he didn't intend to do damage, therefore the eved would not go free. The question that we have a machlokes, and if we look in Shulchan Aruch Yerodei Simen Reish Sam Zayin Sif Lamed Vav, the Shulchan Aruch paskens that even when the doctor had no bad intention, the owner doctor, owner eye doctor, owner dentist had no bad intention, if at the end of the day he caused his tooth to be removed, his eye to be blinded, the eved goes out free. Which opens up an interesting discussion. What is the halacha if a doctor, in doing a procedure with a patient, caused the patient to get ill? What will be halacha? Will the doctor be happy? Will the doctor be held responsible? Says the Ramban, the Torah says, v'rapi yirapi, we want the doctor to take care of his patient. And if a doctor is going to know that he could potentially be held responsible when a patient is harmed during a procedure, he won't want to do the procedure, and therefore he's not held responsible. But the Shulchan Aruch says that it depends on the doctor. He says, if the doctor is a true professional and he's capable and qualified to do the procedure, and unfortunately something went wrong, then the doctor will not be held responsible. But if the doctor undertook to take a procedure that he shouldn't have taken on, even though his intention was a good intention, but says, I saw the Rashbats explains that the halacha is that Adam Mu'ud La'olam, you shouldn't have done something undertaken to do something that you shouldn't have, and therefore you're going to be held responsible. There is a discussion in the Paiskim where a doctor didn't do a procedure improperly, but a doctor prescribed the wrong medicine, and the patient suffered because the wrong medicine was prescribed to him. What will be the halacha then? Will it be considered similar to when the doctor actually did damage? Or since it was only a prescription, it's not the same. Ask the Gemara of Rabbanon, Hai v'shichasa. The Rabbanon hold that no matter what the circumstances are, if the owner caused that the Eved's eye or tooth should be removed, the Eved goes free, what do they do with the word v'shichasa? Answers the Gemara, Mibar l'chatanya. They need it for what Rabbi Leza taught us. Rabbi Leza, I'm a reishi yoy shijod l'mei shivchasai. If somebody put an obstetrician, the owner is an obstetrician, and he put his hands into the shivcha's womb to take out the baby, and doing so, sima ubishvimea, he caused the fetus, this baby, to come blind. Potter, my time da makra v'shichasa achi ischavin l'shichasa. Here he wasn't working with the eye at all, and since he wasn't working with the eye at all, that's why he's absolved. V'idach, how will Rav Shimon Elazar learn this halacha? Says the Gemara, he learns it that the Torah could use the word v'shichas, and the Torah uses the word shichasa, so that's how he learned the halacha that way. V'idach, and the other man, the Amud Rabbanan, shichasa loy dar, she doesn't learn that word. The halacha, as we say, follows the opinion of the Chachamim, that even though the owner did not blind his Eved deliberately, the Eved goes out free. However, says the Har Tzvi, that this halacha is only applicable when there was some level of negligence. However, when there's no level of negligence, says the Har Tzvi, when it's a oinus gomer, then the halacha will be that the Eved would not go free, even according to the Chachamim. Amar Rav Sheshes, Haresh Oysa Enoi Samuya. If the eye of the Eved is blind, V'chatata, and now he took it out entirely, Eved Yetzer Ben L'Cheres, the Eved would go out free. My Tama, M'chusa Eva, who? He's causing that this Eved should lose a limb, and causing that a limb should be lost is considered real damage. My tam chusayev tana, and the Gemara says we have a brisa that supports this. The Torah speaks about what type of animal can be used for carbon, and the Torah says tam is v'zachus v'behema, so the animal is not allowed to be a balmum to be used as a carbon, and many carbonas have to be specifically a zocher, as an animal. However, that halacha doesn't apply by a bird. Vein tamas v'zachris be'ofis. That halacha doesn't apply by birds. Yochel, and therefore we would say yoshigapa. If the wing of an animal, of a bird, dried up, nikta ragla, its foot was removed, nechta ena, or its eye was removed, you could bring such a animal for a carbon, such a bird from a carbon. Tamalaim, the pasuk says, v'im min oif oila kabana l'Hashem. We learn min v'loy kal oif. So we see that the removal of an animal, a removal of a limb, even by a bird, which normally doesn't have a problem with balmum, is a problem by a bird. Here too, the removal of a limb is considered a mum. If the Eved had an extra finger, and the owner removed it, the Eved goes out for that reason as well. Eved, Yotz Ben L'Cheres, the Eved goes out for that. Because that's also considered a real mum. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, when is that considered a mum? When the finger in the Speres Agava Yad, the finger is counted with the rest of the fingers. So therefore, the removal of such a finger is considered a real act of damage. But when the finger is not in the same line with the other animals, the halacha is that it's not considered that he did real damage. The Gemara just said that yofsha gapa, that if somebody causes that the wings of a bird should not be movable, that they were dried up, it's considered a mum. It's well known that before World War II, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, one of the things that they started decreeing against the Jews were the Shechita laws. And they were decreeing that Shechita may not be done, because, of course, they were very concerned about humane, and they said that Shechita is considered inhumane. One of the rayas that the Shaul Tshuvas Eretz Tzvi, the Kozel Gavarov, in Chelik Bey's Yerdeis Simlan Tess, that they wanted to say, that they wanted to decree that whenever you do Shechita, you first have to paralyze the animal against being allowed to do so, is because our Gemara says that Yof Shagapa, that when you cause that the wings of the animal should be dried up and should not be usable, it's considered that you've caused the animal to become a Balmum, maybe even a Trefa. That's why that was one of his rayas, that may not be done, that causing that the animals should be desensitized may be considered a disqualification in the Shechita.